Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. So we are going to jump into his Torah, his commandments, the instructions in which he has given us. We're going to dive into it this week to see the blessing and the riches that we have in there. And we pray that his spirit will speak to each and every single one of us, that his spirit will lead us and guide us, and that his spirit will speak to us that which he has for us at this moment in time. And, you know, his spirit is leading us and is guiding us. And where is he guiding us to? To have eternity, into that second Jerusalem, into the kingdom where we will live with Yeshua, our Messiah, for eternity. So hallelujah. And nothing will cause us to stumble when we possess a love for his Torah and when we are walking in subjection and obedience to the commandments he has given us. He is a loving father whose desire is for us to be with him, to spend eternity with us in the New Jerusalem. And so because he desires for us to be his special people and for us to be with him, he has given us his Torah, or you could say he has given us his instructions and his commandments to guide us, to protect us, to help us navigate through this dark and sinful and lawless world in order to spend eternity with him in the New Jerusalem. So let's go ahead and jump into this week's Torah portion. You know, this Torah portion is titled Generations, the Hebrew word todot. And this is the Torah portion where we begin to read of the generations, or you could say the descendants of Isaac. You know, last week we talked about how Isaac got himself a bride. And this week we're going to talk about the twins that were born unto Isaac, and that being Jacob and Esau. So let's look at Genesis chapter 25 and verse 29. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I am about to die, so what is this birthright to me?" Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, if you remember, previously in the reading of this Torah portion, we read that as Rebekah is pregnant with these two boys, that she feels the fighting that is happening inside of her womb. And she is told that there are two nations that are fighting inside of her womb, and that the older would serve the younger, which teaches us a spiritual lesson that, you know, the firstborn was always the one, according to the custom of the time period, that would receive, you could say, the promise. He was the inheritance. Okay, now remember, Abraham was promised that his descendants would be as the stars in the sky and as the dust of the ground. This promise was passed down to Isaac. And we spoke about this a couple weeks ago in regards to Isaac versus Ishmael, how Isaac was the son of promise and Ishmael was the son of the flesh, or of disbelief, or of disobedience, you could even say. And we did a teaching on that a couple weeks ago. So the firstborn was going to, according to custom and normal circumstances, would be the heir of the promise, the one who would be the one next to receive that promise of his descendants being as the stars of the sky and as the dust of the ground. But Yahweh, in his infinite wisdom, uses this story and uses these men to teach us a lesson that it's not that we're born of a physical seed that makes us heir of the promise, but there's something more to it than just this physical birth that's occurred. So as we see later on in Romans, Paul uses the story of Esau to bring correction to the Jews, to tell them, just because you were born a Jew does not make you an heir of the promise, or you could say, does not mean that you will inherit eternal life. But you must believe in Yeshua as the Messiah. Okay? Now, so we have this tension, this fighting that's going on between the two. And then we see this story here. So Jacob, even in the womb, was fighting to be the firstborn. Or you could say he was fighting for the birthright, which represented the promise. So Jacob, from the very get-go, was trying to obtain the promise. He wanted it. So here in this story, we're reading, and Jacob sees an opportunity to, now remember, Jacob means to supplant, okay? So some would say Jacob sees an opportunity to supplant or to steal or to deceive. Now, Jacob does not deceive Esau at all in this story. Jacob saw an opportunity, and maybe you could say he saw a weakness in Esau that he could use for his advantage. I would say Jacob found the promise or the birthright, something worth fighting for, and he was looking for the opportunity throughout his life to obtain that birthright. And at this moment in time, he saw an opportunity because Esau was hungry. He was so hungry that he says, look, I'm about to die. His flesh was pushing him to the point where he had to have the bowl of lentils, that stew of lentils that Jacob was cooking. And so he was willing to give up his birthright or his promise to satisfy a desire of his flesh at that moment in time, which speaks to us as a warning of those who believe in Yeshua and who are walking with him, that we do not become as Esau, that we do not forfeit our promise that we have, that promise of eternal life, of what we're looking forward to in order to satisfy our flesh. Because if we get caught up in satisfying our flesh, we will be as Esau and we will forfeit our birthright. Or you could say, we will forfeit our right to the promise. The scripture here says that Esau despised his birthright upon selling his birthright unto Jacob. So our flesh will cause us to despise the things of God. Our flesh will cause us to despise eternal life. It will cause us to despise his Torah, the loving commandments that a loving father gave unto us to protect us. Our flesh will cause us to hate it and despise it and not to want to walk in obedience to his commandments, but instead to seek our own desires. And thus, as that evil progresses, it will escalate to the point where one can despise eternal life and forsake their belief in Yeshua. So let's go on and read at another instance where Jacob would continue to fight for the promise. Genesis chapter 27 and verse 6. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, 'Bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of Yahweh before my death.' Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will fill me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me." And he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob her son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" So I'm going to go ahead and stop reading there. Now we know, as the story goes on, that Isaac is a bit confused because he says, "You have the voice, you sound as Jacob, but you smell and feel like Esau." And Isaac goes on to believe that Jacob is Esau, and he goes on to pronounce the blessing, okay, on Jacob. Now, there's a lot that you can really sit here and midrash over, or we could debate and talk about in this story. But when we think about the very thing that happened in our first reading, when Esau decided to sell his birthright unto Jacob, Jacob actually had every right to do what he did in this story. It's interesting in the fact, though, that even though Jacob had every right to the blessing, Isaac still was going to bless Esau. He was going to pass the promise down unto Esau, but Esau had already forfeited the promise by following his flesh, by desiring to satisfy his flesh. So Esau had no right whatsoever to the blessing. Okay? So Jacob continues to fight for the very thing that at this moment in time now was his. And even though it was his, he still had to fight to obtain the blessing. And he had to go to the point where he had to deceive his father and risk being cursed instead of being blessed in order to receive the blessing that was truly his. So the thing I want to really point out and talk about here in this, and for us to take away, is that word, the fighting, that fight. Jacob found the promise, something worth fighting for. And we have a promise. We have been given a promise. And that promise is what? It's eternal life. To those who would believe in Yeshua Messiah, to those who believe that Yeshua died upon that cross, that by his blood there is a remission of sins, that all of our sins are forgiven, that we are cleansed of all of our uncleanness, that we are justified by faith in Yeshua, that his death was the end all. It was all we needed to obtain forgiveness and justification before the eyes of Yahweh. And so we rest in that fact. I do want to make sure we understand that we can rest in the fact that there is forgiveness for our sins through the blood of Yeshua. There's nothing that I can do to earn forgiveness or to obtain any more of a higher degree of forgiveness. All of our sins have been separated from us as far as the east is from the west. He has atoned. He has covered over our sins. Yahweh is not in heaven counting our wrongs against us anymore when we have put our belief in Yeshua. Those sins are covered. They're done away with. They're wiped away. But yet, we still need to fight to obtain that goal of eternal life, to be counted worthy to enter into the gates, because it's those who possess a belief in Yeshua, who have been cleansed by the blood of Yeshua, and now they walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh, that we do not walk as Esau walked. Just because we possess a belief in Yeshua and we believe there is forgiveness from our sins does not give us a license to walk as Esau, does not allow us to be a son of the flesh as Esau was, to give in to the desires of our flesh. We can still forfeit the promise if we serve our flesh instead of serving righteousness. So what is our fight? Our fight is to pursue and to serve righteousness. So let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Messiah Yeshua, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Yeshua Messiah's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in inapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. So here Paul is telling us to fight the good fight. So fight the fight. Just as Jacob fought for the promise, to be the heir of the promise, what do we say? We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why? Because Jacob fought for the promise. So we need to fight the good fight so that we can obtain eternal life. So we fight against the flesh, against the very thing that Esau gave into that caused him to give up his right to the birthright. So we fight against the flesh. Paul tells us to pursue what? Righteousness. Well, what is righteousness? Paul in Romans tells us that the law or the Torah is righteous. It's good. It is set apart. The standard of righteousness, the standard of that which is right, that which is just, that which is lawful, is set forth by the commandments, or the commandment, you know, and the Jews call the whole Torah the commandment. So the commandment, being the Torah, is the standard of righteousness. It sets forth that which is right and that which is wrong. So pursue righteousness, or pursue obedience to the commands or the commandment. As Paul said in one of these verses, keep the commandment. Keep the Torah without spot and without blemish, or blamelessly walk in obedience to the commandment, to his Torah, to his law. We are to pursue godliness. What does it mean to be godly? It means to be like Yahweh. You know how we can be like Yahweh? It is to walk in his commandments. Yahweh is set apart. His Torah is set apart. The law is set apart. When we walk in obedience to the Torah, when we walk in obedience to his law, we are walking in the very character of Yahweh. The Torah reveals the character of Yahweh. It reveals his nature, who he is. And when we walk in obedience to it, we are walking just as he is. We are walking in his likeness. To be like God, to be like Yahweh, to be like Yeshua, we need to walk in obedience. Yeshua said, walk just as I walked. And Yeshua walked in complete obedience to the commandment, to the Torah. He did not disobey the commandment at any single moment in time. He kept the Torah perfectly, without spot, and he did it blamelessly. And that is our goal. That is our model. That is what we are to do. So that is our fight. Our fight is at this present moment in time, in this world, is to pursue his righteousness and godliness, or to pursue obedience to his Torah. That's our fight, to fight against the flesh, which its desire is for us not to walk in obedience to the Torah, but to break the Torah. It leads us, our flesh, leads us in lawlessness. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Messiah depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So here Paul is telling us in another spot. First thing he says, let everyone who names the name of Messiah depart from iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity is the breaking of the commandment. So he's telling us, depart from law breaking, or depart from lawlessness, depart from disobedience from the commandment, or from the Torah. We are to depart from iniquity. We are to depart from the desires of our flesh. And he goes on to give an example about how there is honorable goods and some that are dishonor. So in our body, in us, there is that which is honorable. That is the things that are of God, of Yahweh, of his Spirit. And there are those things that are of our flesh. The things that are of our flesh is that of dishonor. The things that are of the spirit are of those things that are of honor. So we need to cleanse ourselves. We need to get rid of the things that are in our life that are of dishonor, or that which is of the flesh, that which would desire to walk in his own way instead of walking in obedience to his Torah. So we are to be what? Sanctified. That's what he says. Be sanctified, that way you are useful for the master, prepared for every good work. What does it mean to be sanctified? It means to be cleansed. First of all, we're cleansed by the blood of Yeshua. So it starts with our belief in Yeshua, who cleanses us, and then we are set apart. What sets us apart? Obedience to his commandments. If we're not walking in obedience to his commandments, then we are not sanctified, and thus we are not going to be useful for the master. We're not going to be prepared for every good work. The more we become set apart, the more useful we are for the master, the more prepared we are to do every good work. See, when we walk in obedience, it sets us apart. People see our good works and they give glory to our Father in heaven. So we need to be a people who possess a belief in Yeshua, who are filled with his Spirit, and by his Spirit, we are walking in obedience to his word. And when people see our obedience in humility, they will give praise to our Heavenly Father. Paul goes on to tell us in 22, verse 22, flee the youthful lust. So here he's telling us this fight. Remember, we had this fight between the flesh and between the spirit, between that which would pursue righteousness, obedience to his commandments, and that which would pursue the lust of our flesh, or the disobedience to the breaking of the commandments, the breaking of the law. So flee the lust of your flesh. Flee those things, and what Paul is telling us. And he says to pursue righteousness. So we are to fight for righteousness. We are to pursue after righteousness. And this starts out of a pure heart. All of this comes from a heart inside. So the fight first starts over the heart. It's over obtaining a pure heart. If we do not obtain a pure heart, then our actions will not be pure, because our actions flow from what's going on in the heart. So we have to become a people who are serious about fighting to have a pure heart. So just kind of take that moment and think, what does it take? What does it mean to have a pure heart? What do I need to do to fight to have a pure heart? What do I need to stop listening to? What do I need to stop watching? What do I need to stop thinking about in order to have that pure heart? Pray. Ask Yeshua. Ask his Spirit to help you. Ask him to circumcise your heart, to cleanse your heart, to purify your heart. But we also have to be a people who take it seriously when it comes to guarding our heart and keeping our hearts pure. What are the things that we're doing that is causing us to taint our hearts? Now let's look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Yeshua Messiah, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So, first thing we see here, Paul speaking unto Titus and ultimately unto us, is to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. What is ungodliness? It is the very opposite of godliness. Remember, godliness was to walk as Yeshua walked, to walk in the character and the attributes as Yahweh, God himself. Ungodliness is the exact opposite of that. It's to walk in the nature of this world. Remember, this world is under the control of Satan, the enemy. And he is the very opposite, the contradiction of Yahweh himself. So ungodliness can very well be described as walking in transgression or in disobedience to the commandments of Yahweh, or the commandment which he gave in the Torah. So the worldly lust, that is the lust, the desires of this world, which seeks after their own pleasure, which actually is serving Satan himself instead of serving Yahweh. So we are to deny that which is ungodly, or we are to deny all disobedience to the Torah. And we are to deny conformity to this world, but we are to be transformed into the image of Yeshua. We are to walk just as he walked, which is obedience to his word. So we deny conformity to this world to live what? Soberly and righteously and godly. What does that mean? To live obedient to the commandment. So we are to fight to obtain that in this present age and world. We are to walk in obedience to conformity to Yeshua in this dark and lawless world around us. And I don't have to tell you how dark and lawless this world is and how much of a fight it is to conform unto Yeshua and not unto this world. You're not going to walk in conformity to Yeshua without any effort, without any fight. It's not just going to happen. If you think that you can sit back and pray a prayer and believe in Yeshua, but not put any sort of effort, any sort of work into being conformed into his image instead of being conformed into this world, then you are deceived. Yes, we can rest in the fact that his blood cleanses us from our sins, but now we have to get off of the couch. We can't be a lazy couch potato Christian. We have to get off the couch and we have to fight. We have to get to work so that we can be conformed into his image in this present age. We are to be a people zealous for good works, or a people zealous to walk in obedience to his commandment, to his Torah. You could say that Jacob was zealous for the promise, while Esau was not. Zealous, meaning to be devoted to or to be diligent to something. Jacob was devoted. He was diligent to get that promise. Esau was not. Are you devoted? Are you diligent to obtain eternal life? Are you devoted? Are you diligent to be conformed into the image of Yeshua instead of being conformed into the image of this world? Or are you devoted or diligent to obtain and to keep his commandment, his Torah, without spot, and to keep it blamelessly? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So here Paul is telling us that we are to run a race in such a way as to obtain the prize, as if only one person is obtaining the prize. So what are we doing? We are, again, fighting. And what are we fighting for? We are fighting for an imperishable crown. We are running the race for an imperishable crown. So to those who possess that belief in Yeshua, who trust in Yeshua's blood to cleanse them of all of their uncleanness, of all of their sin, and who are fighting the good fight to be conformed into the image of Yeshua instead of the image of this world, to those they will receive an imperishable crown. When we make it into the New Jerusalem, when we have attained eternal life, along with that, we will receive an imperishable crown. We will receive a crown for the fight that we have fought in this present age. And what does Paul say? I discipline my body to bring it into subjection. We need to discipline our body. We need to discipline our flesh. We need to bring our flesh into subjection to what? To the commandment of Yahweh, or to his Torah. To love him the way he wants to be loved, and to love people the way he wants us to love them. Let's look at James chapter 1 and verse 12. We'll end it with this. Blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So blessed is the one who endures temptation. Blessed is he who stands against temptation, who fights against his flesh. To him he will be approved, and he will receive the crown of life to those who love him. And what does Yeshua say? If you love me, then keep my commandments. Well, hallelujah. Just want to encourage you, fight the good fight. Continue to fight the flesh every day, to deny the flesh, to fight against the conformity to this world, but instead to be conformed or to be transformed into the image of Yeshua, to walk just as he walked. And we will obtain the prize of eternal life, and we will receive an imperishable crown when we get there. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching from next week's Torah portion. So we want to encourage you to come back and join us. And we pray that the Spirit will speak to us again next week and lead us and guide us in all righteousness, so that we can attain the crown of life. So come back now, and shalom, y'all.